Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and I was trained to be an architect. I work as an architect, and I started this podcast to talk about what's next in the fields of architecture, design, and technology. Facing topics such as climate change, artificial intelligence, and where humanity's place is in this fast-moving world. I hope you enjoy this week's episode, so have fun listening.
Good evening, how are you?
Hello, good, how are you?
I'm also very fine. Thank you so much for taking the time doing the interview with me. And the first question would be, who are you? Please introduce yourself and your studio.
Okay, so my name is Dimitris Gourdoukis. I am an architect. I live in Thessaloniki, Greece, where we have our studio, which is called Object E Architecture. And we do many different things. We do a lot of competitions. We do a lot of private projects also. At the same time, I'm also teaching at the School of Architecture here. So both teaching and working at the office. And it's more or less who I am.
That's already a lot. Before we get deeper in your work and your projects, I have a few warm-up questions for you. And the first one would be, what's your favorite drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic, what is it?
My favorite drink? Okay. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a surprise. I mostly drink coffee, I guess. So that's what most architects drink. So coffee, sometimes tea, but mostly coffee.
Yeah, I had many times this answer before.
Makes sense.
If you could develop a skill overnight, what would it be? What would you wish for? It can be anything.
Develop a skill overnight without having to
learn it.
To learn it? Okay. Never thought about that. I don't know. I would like to learn an extra language, maybe overnight. It would be great. Mm-hmm. Maybe German. It would be nice. I can't understand the word, so.
Yeah, German is really difficult, so this would be nice. Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
What's your favorite hobby besides architecture?
Let's see. Well, music maybe, and photography, but. Yeah, you know, the problem is that architecture is connected with so many different things that in the end, you know, it's supposed to be a hobby outside architecture, but you end up connecting it somehow with your work. I don't know if that's a good thing or no, but yeah.
No, that's true. If your hobby is photography, at some point you end up to do it for work.
Yes, I know.
So, what's your philosophy? Do you already develop a philosophy for your studio, or are you on the way to do so? Or how would you describe your projects? Do they have a red line?
Like you mean a design philosophy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or how we approach our work? I'm not sure. I think we don't have something that is necessarily very strict and precise. And I guess we wouldn't like to have an approach that is frozen and we repeat it all the time. So maybe that's the basis of our design approach. We like to change. We like to see this project as, of course, it starts from the previous one, but then it becomes something else. So I guess that's a very important thing for us. Not having a philosophy exactly, but having something that is always, you know, in a process of, you know, becoming something else in a way. At the same time, of course, you know, we have some things that we like to do. We like to experiment with the design process. We like to try to think of different ways to do things that we are used to doing certain ways. So I guess experimentation would be the word for that. And also try different different mediums, like different tools to design.
If a new competition comes in, how do you start? Do you have a set of rules you stick to, or how do you start?
No, I don't think we have a set of rules. Usually we start with trying to find references, but not really architectural references, other things that somehow we can connect to. Like it can be whatever, movies, stories, literature or paintings, things that somehow we help us to start thinking about the project at hand. And then just, you know, go whatever this thing takes us. But at the same time, we base our work in previous projects, So, you know, things that we have done, we recycle them in a way, or we revisit them and we develop them. So I think those two things are the starting points, like external references, then our own work and how it can become something else and be developed.
Do you also build models? Out of cardboard?
Physical models?
Yeah.
Not as much as we would like to. Especially with competitions, there's not much time to do that. But it, when we can, it's great. I mean, it's always, helpful to have physical models for the projects. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid we don't do it very often.
But do you start with a normal pencil on a white sheet of paper or directly on the... on the CAD program?
I think that most of the times we start on the computer. I mean, I think this idea of, you know, the white paper and all the stuff is like a myth for the architects. It's the same. I mean, when you start with a blank screen, it's like starting with a white paper in a way. We find it easier on the computer, but then, you know, we can sketch something when there is need to, or we can test things physically and then go back into the computer. But, you know, 90% of our work is done on the computer, and that's also where we start. That's also where we experiment. You know, it doesn't have to be a CAD program, though. It can be, you know, it can be Photoshop, or it can be a 3D program, whatever.
But that's interesting, because most of the people I interviewed yet, they always start with the white sheet of paper. Maybe, so you're the first one.
Really?
Yes.
It surprised me.
And now, did it ever happen before that you have no idea what to do? Like, there's a lack of creativity and you don't know what to do. Is there something or someone that inspires you?
I mean, it happens all the time. That's what you have to struggle with when you are in an architect or in a creative job, whatever that is. So, for me, the way to bypass that and just move on is to keep doing things and trying out different ideas, even if you know it's things that are not going to work. Just by putting them down on paper or on a computer, it helps you move on and think about the project. And so, I guess that's how we deal with it. In a way, it's how can I say, positive feedback. It's, you know, you just let things come and say, okay, let's see how it looks like. Let's try this. Let's do that without too many criticism in the beginning. So many things can be produced, and then after you have a lot of stuff, you can be critical and choose the ones that work better.
And what exactly means being an architect for you? And with the term architect, what do you think, which responsibilities do you also have?
That's a difficult question. I mean, of course, being an architect means that you get to design things, and it's not just designing buildings, it's designing in general, being able to produce concepts also, and somehow back them up with drawings, and being able to explain ideas and all this stuff. But that's on the surface, I think. There is a deeper, maybe, I don't know, responsibility that we have as architects, which is that you know, we relate to the rest of the society, and what we do affects the rest of the society. So somehow that's we need to understand that, and we need to understand what impact our work has on the rest of the world. And in the end, that's always you know, that's always a political question. What's your stance against things and how you deal with them? And I don't mean just how, you know, you build something and then that affects the area where you build it, of course, but also when you draw something, your drawing has implications, people see it and you communicate things, and it's not just architecture ideas. So, yeah.
And what importance has nature in your projects? Like, what's your approach in terms of climate change? Do you use special materials? And if yes, which?
Okay. I think it's two different questions, nature and climate change.
Okay.
Nature, I think there are two ways to answer this. The first is that we don't deal with nature, because anything that is designed is artificial and it's not natural. So, you know, nature is something out there. When we design something, we can use, you know, natural elements like trees or plants, but it's always something designed and human-made. That's one way. A different way would be to think that, you know, even what we design, like buildings, is also natural. Is made by us, like, you know, every animal builds its own habitat and it's natural. So that's the totally opposite way, that everything is natural, you know, everything is nature. I think the way we are trained to work as architects and operate, and the way that the profession works, is we have to do it the first way. It's we design artificial things. No matter how much green we add, it's always something that we made. And that's how we deal with it. We don't think of designing, let's say, green space as something different than designing a building that is totally made out of concrete. I think it's the same thing. And it's not the same thing, but it has the same principles in terms of design. And yeah, I don't think one is more natural than the other. Climate change is a different thing. Of course, we have to deal with it somehow. We have to accept that it's happening, and we have to somehow address it. But I think architecture was always addressing climate. If you were designing correctly and you were taking into account all the things that were important, then you had to take into consideration climate, you know, where is north, where is cold coming from, where is the sun coming from. That's something that has to be part of our design process anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's. No, we don't have any special like materials that we use, or any other process or concept or idea that is specific to climate change. I think it's something that has to be, you know, in the DNA of architecture anyway.
Because I see in many new buildings that they are really smart with all their technology attachments and the air conditioning and all this insulation we put on top of the walls, but on the same time they become dumber and dumber because, I mean, yes, it's called green and sustainable to put more insulation on top, but where does the insulation come from? From China. So the footstep that it leaves behind until we put it on the wall is bigger than than it's possible to call it green architecture.
Mm-hmm. And it's also another thing that we need to consider. We prefer to think in terms of ecology, let's say, not sustainability. Where when you think in terms of ecology, there are other things that you need to take into account. For example, being in a beautiful space is important. People need to feel that they are somewhere where they belong, where they feel comfortable, and that's important for their lives, and that's part of ecology. So it's not just a technical thing. It's not just a matter of materials. It's about understanding that architecture is about all those things. So, you know, building something that it's nice and it makes people feel good and makes them want to be in that space, that's also part of ecological thinking. Because you build something that people will use and somehow make sense out of it.
Have you an idea how we can design ourselves out of climate change? It's just a vision that you can draw.
What do you mean design out of climate change? Like design something that will help us escape climate change? I do think that we can.
No, you don't think so? No. Also, meaning artificial intelligence, that we program something and we can design ourselves out of it, or we design biomaterials.
Okay. I think climate change is first of all a problem that is mainly political. So if we want to solve it, we need to solve it at that level. I don't think that architecture can solve it in any way. Maybe it can make a small change, maybe it can make things a little bit better, maybe it can raise awareness, that's important. But you know, honestly, if we want to solve it, it's a matter of political decisions. So that's what we have to press for. Just by changing the way we design, no, we cannot solve it. And I don't think that it makes any sense to, you know, try to do it that way. If you don't change the way that people operate, companies operate, like how the states are operating, then there's no way to reverse that process.
Oh, no.
How you design, and no matter how smart your materials are.
Oh, no. It's such a depressing answer on a Monday evening.
No. Actually, I think it's a very positive one. I mean, we just need to realize how things are working.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, we should change the whole political system, which is quite difficult.
Step by step. I mean, it's not that you can start making things better on a political level and, you know, slowly gain something.
Yeah, I mean, it's also weird that we now start to talk about climate change, even though it was announced like 40 years ago. So what were we waiting for that it actually arrives? And nothing changed. If we look a step further into the future, how do you imagine the future living space in, let's say, from now on 50 to 100 years?
50 to 100 years? I have no idea how it's going to be. And
just a vision.
I don't know. I'm more interested in about things that are happening now. You know, that's the important stuff. How we live our lives now and how we can change that. And hopefully, if we make something that is useful and makes things a little bit better, then slowly we will push things towards a better future, but we are mostly interested in present, in our present. 100 years from now, I don't know.
Do you think?
I don't care that much, to be honest.
Okay, then let's say 50. Do you think we will all sit at home with our Oculus Rift glasses and we created an avatar and we live in those little concrete boxes and we don't even go outside anymore? Artificial intelligence works for us. We get every month a little payment. That's enough. Do you think this could happen to us as human beings?
It's possible. It's a possible outcome, the way things are going, but it's up to us. I mean, we can find alternative ways to do things, and I think we are going to find alternative ways to escape that future that doesn't sound very bright and beautiful. But at the same time, of course, I mean, artificial intelligence is here and it's taking over everything. I mean, it's taking over architecture. So. Yeah, it's quite possible that in 50 years, you know, I can talk about that maybe artificial intelligence will be designing things on its own in 50 years. I mean, in 10 years from now.
Do you think so? Is this?
Yes, of course.
Don't you think that we, as a human, that there is always a creative head needed to? So tell artificial intelligence what to do, otherwise we will be completely useless, no?
No, artificial intelligence doesn't need that. That's how it works. That's why it's intelligence, because it doesn't need a creative human to do things. So it's there and it's happening. And I mean, right now, you know, you see all those images that they come out of AI software, like architectural images. Mm. They are very impressive because they look like something that is designed by a human being, and soon enough it's not going to be just images. It's going to be models and actual buildings and things you can fabricate. So it's going to happen. I'm not saying that it's good. There are many problems in that process.
But do you think that artificial intelligence can design something that actually gives the clients this feeling? If they enter in a home and they have this feeling of excitement, or I don't know if it can do this. Do you think it can?
Yeah, of course it can. And if it can't, it will be able to do it in like 5 years or 10. And we need to think what we can do.
And what can we do? Do you have a solution for this? How can we prepare ourselves?
It's a very important part of what we do. We try to, after working with digital tools for all this time, you start realizing that they have a lot of power and they direct you. They somehow have control over what you design, and the result is that architecture is produced that way. I mean, have certain characteristics that you can identify them. So somehow they produce, how can I say, very similar results in a way. Maybe nothing is the same, but at the same time are very similar. If you look at all the images that are produced by AI, it's very, very obvious that. And I think that's the nature of digital tools, which is very, very, very dangerous in a way, because we don't have control over that. So we need to find ways to escape from this control that they have. But, it's not going to be in a traditional way, like saying that we always need a human to design a house that will make sense. I think it's like closing our eyes to the problem, because AI, if it has access to a large database of houses designed by people, then it will be able to produce a nice house.
And what should we do?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But the problem will be that in the end, you know, the houses that will be produced this way, they will be all the same in a way. Not the same, but very similar.
Do you have a secret solution that you would like to share with me?
I wish I had, but I don't.
Then, how do you imagine the future working space? Do you think we will still go to the office, or everybody sits at home, or we don't work at all because artificial intelligence took over?
Well, I don't know. If we talk about the next 10 years, I think we will be still going at the office. Of course, we have the option to work from home, and we somehow tested that during COVID. But no, my feeling is that most people prefer having a separate life at home and a separate life at work. And in the end, it will be a mix of the two things. But we will have both options. If we talk about 50 years again or 100 years, and that's a different thing. I don't know. I don't think that we will reach a point where we don't have to work. And also, I wouldn't like that. If we are able to do things that we like, that's useful, and we need to do that. But again, it's more about one step at a time. Let's look at things that we have now and how we can address that and see where that takes us.
And how can we address the things now?
You mean in terms of architecture or in general?
Architecture and in general. I think it goes hand in hand.
It does, but it's hard to try and explain how we can address things in general. But I think it's important to realize that what we do has an impact on many different levels. So we need to understand that designing is not just about creating nice buildings or beautiful images or functional spaces or ecologically aware spaces. It's about all those different things at the same time. So somehow that's a very important step. And it's the same for everything that we do in our life, I guess. And for me, it's the understanding that all those decisions and all those things we do have political implications. It's a political way of thinking about those things. So realizing that on a first level.
I'm really sure we will find that out 10 years from now.
Yeah, earlier.
Then, okay, 5 years from now, then we should talk again. See if we still go to the office.
I think we will be going at the office. I will be going at the office.
You're still there. Okay. Then we already reached the last question. What means architecture for you personally?
Okay. Architecture for me personally. Many things, I guess. It's, it's already 20-something years that I've been dealing with architecture. So it's connected to who I am and how I do things, how I understand things. So it's definitely not just a profession I do. It shaped who I am. So I guess I would say that architecture is something that helps me understand things and do things that don't have necessarily to do with buildings or designs. It's my way of looking at the world somehow. And then a small part of that is the work we do in our projects, which of course they are a reflection of that general view that we have to towards the world, something like that.
Nice description. Thank you very much that you took the time. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Sure. It was nice talking to you too.
This was this week's episode. We really hope you liked it as much as we did. If you have comments, suggestions, critics, please let us know. And till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao!